Today in Enrich, we're starting a new series. And every time we start a new series, what we're going to do is we're going to give out a book that complements that series. And the idea is that we demonstrate generosity as a church for people who are in the community or are new or checking us out. And it will today it'll be Keep Your Love On, Connection, Communication, and Boundaries. So this is a really solid book on those who want to build stronger relationships, and it'll apply to every single relationship in your life. Is there somebody today who's here who's like, oh man, that's a book I want, I need it, I want to read it, I want to grow in this area of relationships and build a strong family? Anybody here? All right, take her, Brittany. There you go. Enjoy. It's a good book. Meredith and I read it, and it actually helped us in our relationship. It helped us with our kids and with people at work. Like, it's an all-around really good book. So, yeah, enjoy. So I remember when I was in college, I was, any psych majors here? Nope. Okay. I took a psychology class though, and we were studying family systems theory. And this is basically when you look at your family history, the generations behind you, and you make a family map. Anyone ever do a family map before, a family tree? A few people? Okay. And when we did this, we basically started analyzing relationships and looking at kind of the bad stuff that happened in our family, in my life, in the generations past. And you make all these different types of lines, like some are squiggly lines for abuse, you know, some were like exes for like cut off relationships or divorces or early deaths. Just, it was just like really going through, what is my family history like? And the idea is, when you understand your family history, you can understand how it affects you today. And I had made mine, and it was pretty messy, from all types of abuse, divorce, cutoffs, and all this mess in my family history. And I showed my professor mine, and you should have seen his face. He was like, he was so shocked by how messed up it was. And he was like, wow, you shouldn't be here. And he was saying, like, you have so much mess in your, you basically should have been a statistic based on what I see on your paper. And I'll tell you that for me, Jesus is the one who redeemed my life. And it was at that point when I began to realize how my family history and my abuse from my past, all types of abuse that happened to me growing up as a kid, how it was affecting me. And it was when I was 19 that I made that decision. I really want to change, and I gave Jesus permission to go into my family history, my life, and begin to transform me from the inside out. And so I'm standing here today only because I'm not a statistic of the world. I'm a statistic of the kingdom of God. That when you give your life to Jesus and you give him permission, he'll transform you, not only you, but your family line. And the reason I dug in so deep to be transformed is because I did it for my kids. I knew that if I didn't change, I knew the same stuff would happen to my kids and their kids and their kids. There needed to be someone who would break those generational cycles by submitting to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give you permission to transform me from the inside out. So I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. If you didn't bring a Bible, because I know some people come with kids and all types of things you got going on, we do have some Bibles that are, we can do on loan during the service. So if you want a paper Bible, just raise your hand and we can grab you one. But we encourage you every week to bring your paper Bible, or if you want to use your phone for the Bible too, you're totally welcome to do that. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And as you read the word, look at words that or phrases that are jumping out at you. When that happens, it's often the Holy Spirit highlighting something that he wants to speak to you about. And then ask questions of the word, because you're going to read this and you're like, Jared, you're having me read a list of like 100,000 names that I can't pronounce. Like, why are you having me do this? Ask that question. Why are all these names listed here? What's the purpose? What's the point of all this? What does it start here and all leads to Jesus? Like, what is all this about? So ask questions of the text when you read it. Look for those words or phrases that stick out or jump out in your heart. And the reason we do this at Enrich is we have you read the word before. I'll read it from the front, because I want us to learn, how do we study the word of God and take that study on Sunday morning, and that you can do that every day throughout the week. So take a few minutes to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. All right, so take a look at verse 1 here. So this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. So this is a genealogical record. What this means is, this is the ancestors of Jesus that go all the way back to Abraham. And one of the questions we have to ask is, why is this important? Why is Jesus' genealogy important? So if you go back to in the Genesis, in the early part of Genesis, you'll find this guy named Abraham. And God goes to meet Abraham. Yahweh meets Abraham and starts this friendship with Abraham. And Yahweh, God, chooses to bless Abraham, saying, I'm going to bless the entire world through you. Could you imagine if God came to you and said, I'm going to bless the entire world through you, but you wouldn't even see that fulfilled until 42 generations later? That God is a generational God, right? So think, catch this. God is a generational God. God is thinking of you and your family, but he's thinking generationally. 1, 2, 3, 10 generations after you. And that's important. So Jesus' genealogy is important because they can track Jesus all the way back to Abraham. This proves his lineage is accurate and it's true. And we have to ask ourselves the question, if Jesus' genealogy is important, why is our genealogy important? Why was your mom and your dad and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents, if you keep going back, why is all that important for you today if it was important for Jesus? And I'll tell you this. This is why. Our ancestors set us up, but they don't determine our destiny. So our ancestors will either set us up for success or set us up for failure, but they don't determine our destiny because Jesus determines our destiny and our obedience to him will determine our destiny in him. So I'm not going to read y'all verses 2 through 16 with all those crazy names. I hope you got the chance to read them. And I'm just going to name this. That dog has been barking. We prayed over that dog and it does not stop barking. But maybe we need to go and cast something out of it in Jesus' name or give it some peanut butter. But I'm just naming that dog's been barking. Everyone just keeps looking at it like that dog over there. So verses 2 through 16, you see there is a bunch of names listed there. A lot of them, you know, if you can pronounce them, you come up here after and you could do a little rap, like JR could rap the names for us afterwards. It'd be pretty cool. But you look at this and you see that everybody has a family history, for better or worse. So Jesus has a family history. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read through the Old Testament at all, but you'll see these names in the Old Testament from Genesis all the way through. We get to his parents, Mary and Joseph. I mean, everybody has a family history, and it's for better or worse. Even Jesus had a family history that was pretty shady with some people who did some real bad stuff. So if you think about your life and your parents or grandparents or people you've heard about in your family line has done some really bad stuff, Jesus had it happen too. So if you think about this, started with Abraham, and he was one who God found, he found favor with God, so much so that God started a covenant with Abraham that affects your life today, all the Jewish people today, and all people who've come to believe in Jesus. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Did you guys know that Abraham lied? He lied on two occasions. And he lied because he was afraid. So he married this really attractive woman, and it was semi-relation of like a his sister technically in a way. And so he said, hey, when we go into this town, tell everyone you're my sister, otherwise they'll kill me and take me, or take you from me. And so when they went in, Abraham lied to that king. And then guess what he did to the second king when it happened? He lied again. And there's a giant helicopter flying over. And you know what? We prayed for them. Isn't that cool? So your prayers are affecting what they're going to be doing as they're getting water. And their accuracy will actually probably be better with the fire and have supernatural impact. I really want you to believe that your prayers do have impact when we pray. So Abraham lied twice. You know what his son did? His son lied in the same way in the context of a king that was going to take his wife. And then guess what happened to the third generation, his son Jacob? That dude's name was Deceiver, Jacob. It got so entrenched in their family line that his identity became a deceiver. Do you see how deception started with Abraham, went to his son, to the third generation? That guy's, basically his makeup of his identity, he became a deceiver. Man, when you get to Judah and Tamar, this one's super rough. So Judah was obviously a man. Tamar was his daughter-in-law, and he actually had a sexual relationship with her. You can go back and read the story. And that's, it was not the best situation, as you probably gather hearing about this. And guess what? That's part of Jesus's family line. He came through that really awkward, unhealthy, ungodly sexual relationship. That's part of Jesus's family history. You also got Rahab. If you're familiar with Jericho. So you remember when the Israelites went in and they marched around Jericho? Rahab was actually a prostitute. She protected the spies, and so her life was spared. So when Israel came in and destroyed the city, they spared Rahab. And Rahab got integrated into Israel, And you find that Jesus actually comes through Rahab's line. She was not part of Israel, and she was a prostitute. So you got her in Jesus' family line. You got Ruth. She was a non-Jewish woman who integrated into Israel by honoring God and Yahweh and being part of the community. Then you've got David. A lot of you probably know about David. He was a man after God's own heart. Do you also know that this guy committed adultery and then he killed the woman's husband so that he could have her and he could have a cover-up? This Jesus came through David's family line. And it keeps, you know, it's good and it gets worse. And it gets good and it gets worse. So Solomon, the son of David, the wisest guy who will ever live, and yet he's the one who committed spiritual adultery within Israel and caused the entire kingdom to be split. Then you got Ahaz. He was a horrible king. He did a lot of wicked things. And you got Hezekiah, who was a really godly king. And then you go to his son, Manasseh, and he was a horrible king that committed a ton of evil against Yahweh, against God. And then you keep tracking that, and you get to Joseph and Mary, who are people that honored God and trusted God, and God found that he could trust them with his son, Jesus. So you look at Jesus' family line, you've got some great people, and you got some horrible people. When you think about your family line as far back as you know, you probably have some people who are pretty good and set you up for success, and you probably have some people that made decisions that didn't set you up for success, like with part of my story. So you have to ask yourself this question. What's your family history? What do you know about your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and people in your family line that made decisions that unknowingly are actually affecting you today? So who set you up for success and who didn't? And what are the ripple effects of those decisions that they made that are affecting you? And here's this too, catch this. What are the ones that the Holy Spirit needs to reveal to you that you don't know about in the natural? So think of this, just as you have a physical DNA that's passed down to you through your ancestors, you actually have a spiritual DNA that's passed down through your ancestors. So that physical DNA is passed on to you that you live in, the body you live in, you actually inherit a spiritual DNA, either of blessings of people been obedient to God, or curses through people been disobedient to God in various capacities. I don't know if you've heard this phrase, Jesus in your heart, but grandpa in your bones. So you got Jesus living in your heart, yet grandpa still lives in your bones if you haven't resolved the issues of your family line. So part of my story, when I was like working through my family history stuff, I had these ungodly thoughts, specifically like of a sexual nature. And I was like, I've never done any of these things. I've never committed any of these sins. This is not part of my history. I've never done these acts. This is not me. And they just kept tracking with me for years and years. And then when I really started pursuing freedom for my own life, for my family line, I realized, oh, my ancestors did this stuff. And just as I inherited a physical DNA, I inherited their spiritual DNA, and it's ripple affecting my life. And then God began to show me how we confess our sins individually. You can look in different parts of the Old Testament, and people will actually confess the sins of their ancestors and repent of the sins of their ancestors to be free. And so I began to do that. And as I did that, those thoughts went away and I don't have them anymore. So I was like, man, I was being affected by the actions of my ancestors and I had no idea that it was happening to me until I began to understand the scriptures. So look at verse 17 here. It says, all those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. That's a lot of generations. That's 42 generations of people that were impacting Jesus. So remember, Jesus was fully God and he was fully human. So all the actions of his ancestors, for better or worse, were affecting him, but he overcame them. So in the same way, if you could track your 42 generations or however far back you go, all the way back to Adam, those are actually affecting you. And think about that. If they're affecting you, what you do will affect the future generations. And so I charge you with this. Now it's your turn. It's your turn. What are you going to do for the generations that are coming after you? What are you going to do? I'll read this to you. If you want to write this down, or you can turn there. This is Hebrews chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. And I hope you get the revelation and understanding of this, because this is huge. It says, consider then how great this Melchizedek was, even Abraham, so remember, he was the one that started this lineage. Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving a tenth of what he had taken into battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham and the one who had already received the promises of God. Without question, the person who had the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who blessed. So if you caught that, it said that Levi gave a tenth to Melchizedek through Abraham. Levi wasn't even alive yet. Levi wasn't even alive for a couple generations more. But yet, how did Levi give a tenth through Abraham to Melchizedek? Here's the answer. Those in your future family line participate in the present. Those in your future family line participate in your present, meaning the actions that you do now, whether you're obedient to God or you choose to sin, that will actually affect the future family line, and they're participating in your obedience or your disobedience, for better or for worse. And catch this. This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, for the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations, for those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love and obey my commands. Whoa. God will take the sins of parents and he will lay them on the children of the third and fourth generation for those who reject God and are disobedient to him. Man, when I look back to the generations behind me and I turn around, I'm a first generation Christian. My family had done some horrible, bad things to each other, to other people. I mean, stuff I won't name on this mic because it's not necessarily like a public thing you want to name, but they had done some really bad things. It, all that stuff was following me and affecting me and wanting me to continue to do those same behaviors. But I said this, I turned and I said, no, in Jesus, this stops with me and my generation. This will not go to my kids. And so I did the hard work for years of digging into this stuff, fasting and praying for breakthrough, confessing my sins, the sins of my family, living in obedience over long-term, consistent obedience. And you know what? That stuff that used to be in my mind that would come in, it's gone. And y'all know my kids. We all have challenges, right? And I don't ever expect my kids to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't expect anyone here to be perfect. My kids are so different from my family of origin where I came from. But it's because I said yes to Jesus and I said, I will be obedient to you. I will live in holiness. I will live in the fear of the Lord and I will not repeat the sins of my ancestors. And I cut it off. And now they'll have the blessing of God on their lives, on grandchildren and great grandchildren. And my prayer is that actually goes back all the way to the generation until Jesus returns. And you can do the same thing because now it's your turn. So based upon our ancestors' decisions, we either inherit blessing or we inherit curse. So based upon our ancestors' decisions, we inherit blessing or curse. This is what we call generational sins and curses or generational blessings. So if you're like, man, I feel like on my life, I've had stuff passed down to me in this spiritual DNA. I didn't do any of that, but it hit my life and maybe I participated in it. It's super simple. Simply, we confess our sins to Jesus and we ask him to forgive our sins. We confess the sins of our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, all the way back to Adam, and we ask Jesus to forgive. And moreover, we got to forgive them too, because remember, those in the future participate in the present. So they sinned against you when they did those actions. So we forgive and we pray for healing and we pray for restoration. Understand this. This is huge for your prayer life. Your prayers are outside of time. The prayers you pray are outside of time because your prayers you pray affect the present. The prayers you pray affect the future, but the prayers you pray resolve the past. So your prayers you pray are outside of time. In 10 generations down the line, the prayers you pray now can affect that 10th generation. They will have no idea who you are, most likely, yet you set them up for success. And so the prayers you pray now will impact the generations to come. And the obedience you give to Jesus, living in holiness, man, a lot of the world just lives how they want to live, right? You look at Netflix and movies and stuff, that is the normal life for most people. How they're living, their behavior and their sexuality with their money, how they treat people, all that will compound in your life and pass down. Unless you say, no, I'm going to change. I will do whatever it takes to resolve this sin in my life. And I'll tell you this too. If you have a sin that's what they call like a besetting sin, a sin that is like deeply rooted and you've been wrestling with it for a long time, most likely it's generational. So if you're thinking like, man, I have these depressive thoughts for a long time. I've just had them since I can remember. If you have that phrasing that comes to you, since I can remember, that's often generational because that stuff is passed down to you. But Jesus is the solution. He's the key because he took every sin, every sickness, every iniquity, every abomination, every curse on the cross for you. And you simply have to align yourself with what Jesus has done and be obedient with the spiritual principles and laws he's put in place to resolve those. And he will do it in you and through you. And part of my journey, there was some stuff that was so deeply rooted. I had to do a season of prayer and fasting. Some of them, it was resolved in one time of fasting and prayer for like, you know, a certain amount of days, however the Spirit led me. But some of them actually took multiple times of prayer and fasting to dig them out because they were so deeply rooted. And if you're like, where's that in Scripture? I'll point you to take a look at Matthew 17, that section there, but verse 21. So fasting with prayer is sometimes needed to uproot deeply rooted generational sins and curses. Here's the thing. If you're willing to fight for your generations, you will have victory through Jesus Christ. The only time you lose is when you stop. Because in Ephesians 6, I mentioned this last week, 10 through 20, if you want to write that down and read it, spiritual warfare, it is mentioned in the first couple of verses three times to stand. And the last time it's mentioned to stand, he just says, continue to stand. Because you know who's going to come at you when you start fasting and praying for freedom for yourself or your family? Satan is not happy because he's going to lose ground in your life. But remember, in the beginning, we talked about God is a generational God. From Abraham to Jesus, he had 42 generations in mind before he would fulfill his promise in Jesus. In the same way, when you begin to fight for your own freedom, you're doing it for your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids until Jesus returns. Can you understand why Satan wants to fight so hard against you to get you to give up? Because he doesn't have you in bondage. He actually has your entire family line in bondage. He owns them until you choose to be set free through Jesus Christ. And you humble yourself in prayer and fasting and confess your sins and repent, which means you turn from going your way of disobedience to God's way of obedience. I'll tell you, it's hard. And it's painful, but it's so worth it. Because remember, Jesus, he didn't want to go on the cross for any of us. But he said, Father, because it's your will, I'm willing to do this. And so Jesus set an example for us of crucifixion that we can follow in obedience to him, in our love for him. So the way we do this, you're like, Jared, this is really good, kind of like philosophical, theological approach, but how do I actually make it practical? What we're going to do is, you know, every week we have an activation here. So we're super intentional to give you a tool in your life based upon the scriptures we study of how then do you take this into your week or into your life and apply it. So we're going to pass out some clipboards here. And Anna's going to pass this out. Thanks, Anna. And on there, you're going to see that there is a family tree. It's super simple on there. And you start with yourself at the bottom. And then you write the names of your parents, your grandparents, and your great-grandparents, if you know that. And if you're like, I don't know any of this stuff, this could open up a conversation with people in your family that you feel like you can talk to learn more. Thank you, Anna. And we'll get you some pens, too, if they're not on there, but they should be on there. And there's a bunch of questions listed. The idea is this simply gets you started. This might be something that you want to take into your devotional time with Jesus throughout the week and go deeper in this. And the idea is you want to learn about your family history and how are the actions and behaviors of your family affecting you today. So one of the things you want to look at is, are there divorces in your family? If there are divorces in your family, that impacts spiritually in your family. If your dad or your mom bailed on you, you know, you all know that's part of my story. My dad, when I was 12, my dad left. That's when things had to change. I'm going to remain with my kids. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stick out my marriage no matter what happens, right? So I had to, there were times in my timeline when I had to choose to do something different from those in my family line. So these questions will prompt you to begin to look at your family line and begin to examine it. One of the things I want to invite you to do too is say, Holy Spirit, will you show me things in my family line that I wouldn't know in the natural that my family has done that you want me to know? Maybe you come from a family that worshiped other gods. So that'll be something that, or other religions. You want to make note of those things. Are there cutoffs in your family? Are there people in your family who you don't talk to anymore? Or people don't talk to anymore because they did something? Those cutoffs will repeat down generationally. Is there different types of abuse in your family? Emotional, physical, sexual, and all, like abuse, right? In any form. That stuff passes down generationally. Begin to catch on that these things are not just natural, they're spiritual. So these have spiritual components that will go down through your family line until you resolve them through Jesus. And I'll propose to you, it isn't explicitly in the scriptures, but if Jesus had these 42 generations before him of people who did crazy bad stuff and some people were obedient, this stuff followed him and he had to resolve it in his own family line. Because remember, he was fully God and he was fully human. So take a few minutes to at least start your generational line on there. And then on the back of this, there is a prayer of freedom that I'll invite you to take into your devotional time this week. It's written out really clearly, kind of a step by step. And you could do this prayer on your own. You could do it with other people. But once you recognize some of these generational sins and curses on your family line, you can actually resolve them through prayer. So we want to give you the tools to be able to set yourself free and help set others free and to set your family line free. So take a few minutes to look at that, and then we'll come back together. We'll pray over everyone. We'll give a gospel invitation for anyone that hasn't accepted Jesus or wants to do that, and then we'll finish our time. So hopefully this sheet gives you a good start for beginning to look at your family, because as we start this new series, we build strong families. Your family history matters, and it all starts with you. All the responsibility rests on you. How do you want to build your family? Because you can either build your family the way that God designs us according to scriptures to build families, or if you go off and build family your own way, a lot of it will crumble and will pass down things that we don't really want to pass down to our kids and grandkids and so on. So write on there a goal you have for the week. So in response to what you learned from the scriptures or this activation handout, like, what do you want to do? Will you each day this week in your devotional time, your daily devotional with the Lord, with Jesus, will you do some work on this? Do some work. Or maybe once a week, you know, for the next month, you'll put a reminder on your phone and do some more in-depth work for like 30 minutes. So just sit down in prayer, doing this really prayerfully with the Holy Spirit, for him to show you what's going on in your family line. And it's so worth it. To do this deep work, it's so worth it, because you're impacting all the generations who come after you. Set them up for success with God's blessing through his covenant with us in Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you're hearing about Jesus and everything that he did for us and all that he carried and the key and solution that he is for us, and y'all know this who've been coming, maybe there's some people who are here for the first time or people at the park who are hearing this, but we all have a problem with God. Right? So we've all sinned. We've all done wrong against God. And that sin separates us from God, where we can't have that relationship with God because we've sinned against him. But there's a solution. Jesus is the solution. He lived a life without sin as a fully God and fully human. He went through every temptation, everything we'll ever face. And yet he never sinned against God, which is so powerful. He willingly chose to go on the cross, to be crucified and tortured, to shed his blood, so that we can be forgiven, and that forgiveness reconciles us. It repairs our relationship with God. And not only that, they put him in a grave for 3 days. He was dead for 3 days, went to hell on our behalf so we would never have to go to hell. And he raised from the dead, conquering death. So he has the keys of death and Hades in his hands. So he gives you the full package. Forgiveness of sins, so you can have a relationship with God. And he raised from the dead, so you can have eternal life. So what this means is if you want to believe in Jesus for the first time and ask him to forgive you of your sins, he becomes the Lord of your life. That means he's the one who rules over your life. You turn from going your own way, living your own way, to going how Jesus wants you to live according to the Word of God. He becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sin, and he becomes your best friend. So if you're hearing this today and you'd like to give your life to Jesus and believe in him for the first time, we just invite you to raise your hand if you want to believe in Jesus for the first time. If there's anybody here that would want to do that, come over and find some of us with a green name badge, and we would be happy to help you start that relationship with Jesus. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then we'll wrap up our time together. So Jesus, thank you for your word, that we can read it and have revelation and understanding by your Spirit. You give us a mind and a heart to know you more through the scriptures. And Jesus, when we read about your family line, you got some stellar people and you got some not so stellar people. Some people that set you up for the best, and some that, you know, planted some seeds in there that weren't good, that could have worked against you as you lived out your human life as fully God here on the earth. So Jesus, we all have a family history too. And there's some people who probably loved you and set us up for success. And there's some people who probably hated you through their disobedience and their sin and put us at a disadvantage in certain ways. But Jesus, you're the solution. So we want to humble ourselves before you in our church fast for our families. And we recognize, Jesus, that we've sinned against you, that each of us individually, we've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. Our families have sinned against you. Our parents have sinned against you. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, everybody back to Adam in our family line has sinned against you, Jesus. And so we humble ourselves before you, starting with repentance, saying, Jesus, I'm willing to make that change in my life. I'm willing to choose to go living a life of disobedience of my ancestors and for myself, to living a life of obedience to you. So I start off by saying, I'm going to change. And I want to follow you, Jesus. And I also ask that you forgive me. Forgive me for the sin I've committed against you. Forgive my parents. Forgive my grandparents and my great-grandparents all the way back to Adam. And I forgive my parents too. I forgive my parents for sinning against me. I forgive my grandparents for sinning against me. And I forgive my great-grandparents and anybody back to Adam who sinned. My family line, I forgive them too. So Jesus, I want to start this right. By building a strong family or a stronger family foundation through forgiveness, through confession of our sin, and through repenting. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would show each of us the way. Show us the way that you've marked out for us, for us to live in total freedom for ourselves, for our spouses, for our kids, for our grandkids and great-grandkids, everybody who's going to come through our family lines, Jesus. Because we can live under your blessing and covenant with you through Jesus. And that's what we want. God, we want to honor you. We want to worship you and serve you only. And as Joshua said, as for me and my house, my family line, we will serve the Lord. And so for some of you here this morning, you got to put that stake in the ground and say, okay, this is the first time I'm doing this. But starting with me, or I'm making this choice for myself and my future family, I'm putting the stake in the ground. And I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm putting a stake in the ground and I'm going to choose to follow you. And I'm going to dedicate my family to you. I'm going to dedicate my family line to you. And this is it, Jesus. I'm turning from all my ancestors' sin. I'm turning from my own sin. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get free and to resolve this with you, because this is going to impact the next 42 generations. And so do that in your heart with Jesus here this morning if that's something that you're feeling led to do. So Jesus, for everybody that's doing that here this morning, I ask that you would bless them. You would bless them with the grace, the mercy, and the ability to take that stand in their life and in their family and in their generational line, to live a life of obedience to you, to uproot every personal sin and generational sin from their family line, to break every curse, Jesus, through you, and to establish family generational blessing until you return. And we know it's rooted in obedience and loving you, God, with our whole lives. So Jesus, I ask this morning that you would begin to shift people's lives, shift people's generational and family lines to you. And I make a declaration in the name of Jesus. Every generational curse be broken now in Jesus' name. And begin to dissolve from everybody here present, everybody that will be listening to this. Holy Spirit, search those out and reveal them to everybody here who's listening, that they can resolve them through Jesus Christ. Even the ones that are hidden deep that they don't know about. Would you show them in dreams, visions, impressions, just knowledge? Begin to root this stuff out, Jesus. And I pray that you'd break every bondage on every person in their personal lives and in their family lines for all generations until you return. Jesus, we dedicate ourselves to you. We dedicate Enrich Church to you. Jesus, have your way. So, Father, as everybody goes forth this week into their weeks, I ask that you'd bless them. Pray that you'd encourage them, that you would give them everything that they need to be successful in you through your Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask your protection over everyone here. I ask that you give them the power and the ability to resist every temptation that comes their way. That you destroy the works of the devil in their lives and in their families and their family lines, and that you'd cause them to stand firm, God, in your power and in your armor, and after they've done everything in the midst of the battle, that they would still be standing, and that they would celebrate their victories in joy and rejoice that their name is written in heaven as they see their enemy defeated. Father, pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.